This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. And we're back with the Wells Tech podcast. This is episode, what episode is this? 345 for Tuesday, June 10th, 2014. This is a show about technology, ministry, anything where those two intersect, and there are a lot of intersections, and helping me navigate them, as usual, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon, Mr. Spriggs. Nice to be with you today. How are you?
Very formal you are today.
I am. Oh, and I got the cuckoo clock going in the background. Hopefully y'all got to hear that.
Must be time to start.
Yeah, we got the deal of the century on a cuckoo clock, and it's going to come in handy to tell us when Wells Tech starts. Worked at the Treasure House. I'm now on the board of directors of the local thrift shop that helps our Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School. And spent a day working there. Got a cuckoo clock for $17.50. Is that a deal or what?
Does it plug in at least?
There are no electrical components to it. My clock, it's controlled by weight.
It took gravity.
Us a while to figure it out because it was off time and we thought we'd have to take it apart and fix it. My husband Googled it and there's this thing called a pendulum on it, you know, and that controls the time. And there's a little leaf motif on the pendulum that you slide up and down to control it.
Controls the speed.
It's some fine artistry. In engineering behind our cuckoo clocks.
Yeah, you think you've got it nailed, though. I've had experiences with cuckoo clocks in the past, and there'll come a time where it won't be at the right time.
Yeah, well, pretty much daily, but oh well, it's fun to try. It's a neat
it'll
addition
be right,
to our
it'll
home.
It'll be right twice a day.
Yeah, or it'll drive us cuckoo, one or the other.
Or both. Speaking of cuckoo, we took on a big project for this summer.
Yeah, this is our light series. Our summertime is always meant to be...
Somewhere we lost the concept of what light is, and we picked these projects that actually turn out to be more work than the regular Wells Tech season. But this is actually a very necessary project, right?
That's right, Martin. I was trying to think back to the history of the Wells Tech Wiki. I think we've had a Wells Tech Wiki site since the first year that we started the podcast, perhaps within the first 6 months even. We decided it would be appropriate to set up a resource gathering site that was collaborative in nature, that allowed our listeners to input or to update the website. And we went about deciding on a wiki platform, and we picked one, and that probably is, if you're looking at my screen online, looks very familiar. WellsTechWiki.wells.net was our platform, and we have, I think, about 75 pages and lots of great information that's been stored here over time. Unfortunately, it's a little bit unwieldy at this point, and the garden needed to be weeded, and so that's our goal for the summer, to clean things up and move it to a new place.
It's not just we're relocating the garden.
That's right, moving.
We picked we picked a technology, I think at the time it was called wetpaint.com. It was one of the, you know, four or five kind of wiki providers out there that it was kind of cheap and, you know, met our needs, but then over time they had to figure out how to make some money, and we had advertising, and it wasn't as easy as we thought to maintain. So fresh start, we're going to kind of transplant all that content, but a section at a time. So throughout the course of the summer, the 12 weeks here or whatever, we're going to take a section. How many sections are there? Are there 12?
I think we divided it into 12 chunks, and yeah, it's not that they're specifically going to be, you know, 12 areas of our new wiki, but that we're going to divide it up and move it that way.
So a couple things to note here. First of all, we're going to do it by section, so we'll live in both worlds for a while. So if you're used to going to the old wiki, you can still get at some of that old content. But as we move, we're going to replace that content and give it, you know, give you a little farewell sign there, saying, "Hey, it's not here anymore. It's over on the new site." And we are using a familiar technology over on the new site. Actually, technically, not a wiki.
Actually, technically, a collaborative website, which is what a wiki is. Okay. But we decided, and finally, after a lot of effort and trying out different platforms, we decided to go with a Google site, of all things, mm-hmm. and just, you know, kind of allow people to request access, grant access, and once you have that access, it becomes a collaborative website. You're able to edit the web pages there.
Yeah, and that's a good lesson learned, because we did try kind of the king of open source wikis, MediaWiki, which is what Wikipedia is built on, and many other wikis, and anybody can set those up pretty easy. I mean, the setup is not all that difficult, just to kind of get a base site up. But if you're thinking of putting up a wiki for whatever purpose, whether it's collaborative, note-taking your documentation, or whatever, you may want to consider Google Sites, because the tools are fairly familiar, they're integrated, and they do require a login, so we had a little workaround for that part of it. So a general-purpose wiki, you know, handles that a little bit different way, but for our purposes, we used one of our forms tricks, right?
That's right. We just embedded a Google form right on the site. If you visit the new wiki site, and we have a brand new URL for it, wellstechwiki.gapps.wells.net, there's a link, a button in the top bar that says request an account, and all we're asking is for your name, congregation information, and email address. The trick is, if you have a Google address, it might be a Google Apps account or just a plain old Gmail address, that's going to be the best email address to sign up for an account with, because if you don't, in the account creation process, you're going to be prompted to create a Google account. And so go ahead and use your Google address if you have one. Otherwise, Google will walk you through the steps of setting up a Google address. A Google address is required for editing Google Sites.
And we get no promotional credits or kickbacks from Google for forcing you to get a Google account. That's just kind of the way it is. Sorry.
We all get to learn in the process, though. So
that's right. Consider it a learning, a teachable moment.
There you go. Once you have an account and you're logged in, the site's going to look like this, but it's going to have some extra stuff at the top. And that's where you get your edit icons and things. So there's a little page here, how to edit this wiki, where we show you what to look for. And once you're in that edit mode, you can just click into the site and make changes. You can add new pages and all those great benefits of wikis.
Yep. So what content have we moved this week? And I say we very, very loosely, because it's what content did Sally move this week?
You played a great supporting role, Martin. You were very encouraging. So, actually, maybe just a quick tour of the sidebar of the site, where we kind of broke up all the existing content into six major categories. We have Bible, church, communication, equipment, office, and school. And so throughout the summer, we're just going to be working our way through these categories, moving content into each of them. And so we started with Bible.
And place to start.
Yeah, I thought so too. And we didn't have a lot on the old wiki. We pretty much had one page dedicated to Bible resources. And I added a few links. I added a link to our Wells Tech Ministry resources page, because in addition to the things on the wiki, we have a whole lot on our Wells Tech site related to Bible resources as well. So, but links to major Bibles, mobile Bibles, and different resources and reviews around different Bible study tools. We've done podcasts in the past where we compared Accordance, which is a Mac-based product for the most part, BibleWorks, and Logos. Those are probably the three big ones that theologians use for digital Bible study, and there's lots of resources here around all three of those.
Yeah. So remember, the point of this is not for us to do it, but for you to do it. I mean, we have actually probably more limited experience than almost all of our, you know, many of our audience. So what we'd like you to do is go in there, dig in. If you find stuff that's inaccurate or incomplete, complete it or correct it. If you find stuff that's missing, or if you don't find stuff that you think you should find, add it, because really the point of this is to to build a site that people are going to use as a resource. And this is going to be really driven, the success of it will be driven by how engaged our Wells Tech listeners are. So please go in there and take a look at this stuff. We haven't done much in adding stuff along the way from in this migration process. We'll have our hands full just trying to get cleaned up content from one place to the other, you know, get the weeds out and do a little watering, but you guys really need to make it grow.
Yeah, to be real honest, I'd like to go through, maybe I'll have a kid do this or something, and click every one of these links, and I haven't done that. I've made sure the links transferred over from the other site, but, I mean, there could be a lot more effort even with just the basics that we have there. It looks okay, and the links are there, but, you know, verifying that those pages still exist after years that they've been linked to or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then after converting that area, the Bible area, I moved on into the church area. And what you're going to see kind of throughout the site is sub-page listings and things. So you've got your main categories, but then there are a wealth of sub-pages underneath each of those categories. So there'll be kind of a driver box that will allow you to link to all the different sub-pages. And under church, there are two main areas. One is related to online worship and the other to worship planning. So I really focused this week just on the online worship resources, which is probably one of the most visited areas of the wiki, where we have links to things like archived audio and all the different congregations that are putting perhaps sermon recordings on their website. And we have it organized by state and then by city within the state. And then you can click on the congregation name to see the different archived audio resources that are out there. There's some breadcrumbing up at the top, you'll notice. We'll get you back just to that online worship category if you want to go there. We have links to archive video, closed caption, archive video, congregations in iTunes, and live streamed services. Again, most all the pages are organized similarly with the state breakdown and then the individual cities and congregations. But I would venture to say that the listings are not up to date, even
probably
if all the links
woefully,
were right.
Yeah, woefully behind, yep.
So this might be something worth drawing attention to on the Wells Tech listserv and just kind of really a serious call for people to submit or go on and edit these pages and update the information that's there.
So that's what you should do if you are listening or watching this podcast. Go to we have a couple URLs you can get to the wiki at. We created wells.net/WellsTechWiki. That'll get you to this location. Or WellsTechWiki.gapps.wells.net. Stands for Google Apps. So if you are listening or watching, make sure you go to that site, click on that section, and make sure your church is there in the appropriate ways and linking into the appropriate sites, because we're trying to build a directory. And as Sally mentioned, this is a question that we get quite often. Do you have a list of all the online worship, especially live or recorded video, so that we can watch it if we're on vacation or not available or we miss a Sunday? It's nice to be able to watch these, and we'd like to provide as complete a list as possible.
Definitely. I'll just circle back to the Wells Tech Wiki homepage, our new homepage, and point out the fact that there is still a link there to the old wiki site. So if you wanted to go back and look at anything from the old site, it's still there, but as I move the pages over, then I'm deleting those pages and just pointing those pages on the old site to the actual link to the new site for those pages. So.
Yep.
Just a time of migration.
Good. Thank you, Sally. That looks awesome. And I've been a critic of Google Sites in the past, I think with good reason in early stages, because it was just a very bare-bones, hard-to-use tool, and they've made some impressive improvements with the tool, so much so that we've decided that the precious content that we have on Wells Tech's wiki site can go there.
We're trusting you, Google. Hopefully you don't let us down. I I work with a lot of different content management systems, and I think Google does bring a good system to the table. It's been refined over time, and it's working really well for me at this point.
I don't know if you mentioned it, but once you do submit that request for a login, there is a manual, a human, namely Sally, needs to receive the email, create the account, and then you're in. So, not create the account, but enable the account. So,
add it to the permissions.
Right, exactly. Yep. So I'm kind of excited. Good start, and I'm really excited about being able to, you know, have a nicer offering and presentation. We just found a couple problems with MediaWiki, although it had extremely full features. You could do anything you wanted, really. We found it difficult to configure and very cryptic to actually edit a link even. It was a whole different language. It was built by geeks, so you really needed to speak geek to understand it. So I think this is a better approach.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, Martin, and I just thought of one more thing that I want to make mention of, and that's the fact that we do have these main pages built out, and we're going to be adding more and more sub-page titles here. So you're going to see kind of a shell of what we're going to be building in as we go through the summer. But I would encourage you, if you do create an account, to hold off on editing things we haven't gotten to yet. So, for instance, in the church area, there's pages for worship planning, bulletins and sermon notes, event promotion. When you go to those pages, if we haven't made it to them in the conversion process, they're just going to be blank pages, empty shells. And I don't want you to start, I don't want our brand new Wells Tech Wiki folks to start editing pages that we haven't migrated yet. So just a word of caution.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. With our abbreviated summer schedule, we are going to take a break from our ministry resources and our listener reviews. Those will return, never fear. We had a good time with those last year. But we will not dispense with some of the more popular segments of the show, and that's our tips and picks and, of course, community feedback. So I will start out once again with my tip of the week. And remember, our tips are just little nuggets that maybe make you a little bit more productive, call something to your attention. It's a keyboard shortcut, it's a little quick utility, it's a, you know, an approach, whatever. My tip is for all of you iOS and Mac users. With the Apple Developer Conference just over last week, there was a lot of news coming out about Mac OS 10, the operating system, and iOS 8. But there is a little tool that I found very useful when I'm using my iPhone or iPad or on the Mac, and that's this concept of the reader. And let me see if I can do a quick screen share here. Let's try this guy. And we will, we're making a renewed effort, Sally, to be sympathetic to our listeners, not just our viewers. We know that, you know, there are both contingents out there, so we will try and paint a visual picture for you people that are on the treadmill or taking your walk or mowing the lawn and listening to us at the same time.
Audio only, you mean.
Right. Yeah. That's what I said, or that's what I meant. Or if you're ironing clothes, as we know one of our listeners does, so... but the reader icon, the ability to take a web page that maybe has an article in wrapped in all kinds of stuff, or maybe it's ads, maybe there's multiple articles, some of which you're interested in, some of which you're not. Safari, both on iOS, in the iPhone and the iPad, and also on Safari on the Mac, has a reader button. So on iOS specifically, it's up in the URL bar, and it's just a little, it's four lines, and that last line is a little bit shorter to kind of give the icon of text. And if you're on an article, let's say on a web page, and I'll break my own word here, but I'll show you with my, Actually, I've got to show you by changing back to my camera. On my iOS screen, you can see right next to the bar up here at the top is a, so here's a screen with all kinds of other stuff on it and so on. You got pictures, you got headers, whatever. But there's a little icon right at the top there that I can click on, and it will take that article, blow it up, which is great for us with hard eyesight that is challenging us in our old age, and blow up the text and make it scrollable and take all the ads out and all the extraneous information, footers and such, and just gives you a clean-looking article view. The same is happens on Safari on the Mac. There's a little reader button. It actually says reader right in the URL bar at the top. And once you click on that, then it'll take it. And on the Mac, it's even better because you have controls for the size of the text. So you can increase or decrease the size of the text, get more or less on the screen. And it does a great job. You have to be on an article to do it, but it's pretty smart. And it'll only show up when it can do something for you. So that little reader application or a little add-on for iOS or for Safari on the Mac is just my, just a nice little tip if you use one of those systems. You may not have even known what it did. It was just sitting up there waiting for you to tap on so that you could get that clean view of what you wanted to read. Do you know about that, Sally?
I'm sorry that you asked me that question. I think I made it my tip of the week just recently, actually.
Did it?
Yeah, I was debating whether I'd remind you of that, but oh well. That means that repetition will help our listeners really appreciate.
Was it one of those shows I wasn't on?
No, it was one of those shows you were on. We talked about this within the last month or two, but that's a great tip, Martin. I'm really excited that you
So good.
So good. Two times. That's right.
Was it a pick or a tip you had?
I think it might have been a tip. I'll have to look back, but I'm pretty sure I talked about those little bars in my...
You know, when I was talking about the failing eyesight in my old
age,
the
brain waves.
That goes along with that, too. Yeah.
I'm with you.
So you let me go through that whole thing.
I enjoyed it. It was a great explanation. Thank
you. Yours was probably better and better prepared, too.
I don't know about that. So thanks for that tip, Martin. I will talk about Google Sites. Since I've been living the Google Sites world a little bit lately.
Sally, do you remember a couple weeks ago that was my tip?
I don't think
Google
so.
Sites.
Not this tip. Sorry.
Okay. Bummer.
Okay. Anyway, Google Sites has a feature called templates that makes designing a consistent look on your website really super easy. So as you come up with a page design that you want to repeat throughout the site, for instance, as I was working on all these different online worship pages and all the subpages there, I wanted them to have a certain look. I wanted them to have this breadcrumbing feature turned on, and that's not automatically turned on. I wanted them to have files and comment capability at the bottom of the page. And so what I did was I created one page that had those components all set up, and then once I had that page in place, I could save that as a page template with my Google Site features management tools. And when I save it as a template, when I create a new page on the site, here's all the different templates that are available, and it's going to be in that list. I called it a wiki page. I named it that so that I would recognize that I wanted all my wiki pages to have that template applied to them. So that's just a little trick that allows you to set up things and do them consistently and not have to go and tweak settings on each individual page after you create them. Because the out-of-the-box web page may not fit what your needs are for your particular Google site. So be sure to tap into that template capability, and I'll have a link in the show notes to some help if you're interested in learning more about that.
Very cool. You are becoming googlier and googlier with each passing day.
I am. I just found out I'm a Google education trainer. So
and
I get
props for that.
Get to get the inside scoop and share with you guys on a regular basis. Very excited about that opportunity.
Props
and
for that.
props to Jason Schmidt, who also was recognized as a Google Education Trainer. Yep. So
it was April 15th, 2014, unfortunately, 8 short episodes ago. although your focus was on iOS 7 on the iPhone.
You expanded that. I did not realize there was a reader button in the Mac Safari. So.
There you go. So a little something extra there for you.
That's right. That's
okay.
right.
Okay. Move on to our picks of the week. And hopefully I picked something that you haven't picked in the last 2 months. But you're up.
Okay. I am going to just point you to a page on the Northwestern Publishing House website where they are now offering an iOS app with the Meditations daily devotional. So Meditations, you guys probably have laying on your coffee table right now. It's that wonderful book of daily devotions that comes out of NPH on a regular basis. And they have now gone mobile with it. So you can subscribe. I believe the price is perhaps $1.99 for a monthly subscription or $12.99 for the year. So you can download the app and it comes with 2 weeks of free content and morning and evening prayers, and it'll even notify you when new prayers are posted. But then if you want to get the devotional content on a regular basis, there is a subscription model with that, $12.99 per year. As if that weren't good enough, NPH has a page of other options for meditations. Everything from large print to email subscriptions, ebook versions, so you can get it for Nook or Kindle, all different options here. So if you're not an iOS user, I don't believe they have an Android app at this time, but they do have other electronic versions. So check out the links from the show notes and subscribe if you are interested.
Very nice. We did talk about NPH's meditation on March 19th, 2014.
The iOS app?
No, maybe we didn't.
Cut me some slack. You're trying.
I'm trying to redeem myself.
You are. Maybe we did.
I don't know. We'll have to look that one up, too.
This would be the show of repeats.
In fact, it was a ministry resource on
that. How about
that?
So. Imagine that.
Thought that sounded familiar, too. We are really taking a vacation. We told
you. That in a thousand.
That's right. I'm pretty confident that my pick of the week is not a rerun, but it certainly is something that I've found useful over the past couple of weeks. It's called DuckDuckGo, and not the game. That's DuckDuckGoose.
Right.
DuckDuckGo. Did I get the right... You see
in
the
nice
right there,
map
my
screen there,
there? Yeah, wrong screen. Yikes. Hang on here. There it is. DuckDuckGo is a search engine. And it is a search engine that aggregates. It doesn't really do its own search, but it pulls from Google. It pulls from Bing. In fact, let me see if I can find what it pulls from here. I thought there was a page here, but basically they promise a couple of different things. First of all, there's no tracking whatsoever, so you can search for anything, and none of the the things that Google or Bing does about tracking your activity and building a profile happens here. So they do that. They do a good job of moving. No ads. They try and filter out any spam results that you might get, and it's really really quick. So it's nicely done, and I think that it is probably one of those things that kind of flies under the radar. It's a it's just done by a couple people. It's a small team. You can see that there's 10 people here that do it, but they pull from Wikipedia, they pull from Bing, they pull from Google, they pull from just some of the main search engines that typically are used. Internet Movie Database, Flickr are some of the tools that they use. And the search results are really nicely done. So I don't know what we'll get if we search on Wells Tech. Let's see what happens here. Well, we definitely come up, and our wiki site, our old wiki site, comes up. Facebook, Twitter, you can see that they're pulling from all different sources. So we've got the Twitter feed, we have Facebook, And then it gives a ranking. This little, for those of you watching, you can see a little green symbol toward the left. And that is a reputation engine that they use that's kind of an open source tool that's out there. I forget what it's called, but basically if it's a site that has a good reputation, it gets this little green symbol. And fortunately, in most cases, we have a green symbol. But let's see, what is this for?
The actual website doesn't have a green symbol.
Yeah, it has an orange symbol. We're going to have to check on that. But these all have meaning here. And it also tells you if you've visited the link before, if you've been to that site before. So nice little aggregating search engine. Here's our Vimeo account, our stuff on SlideShare. So it does a nice job that probably gives you better results, I think, than if you just searched on one search engine versus another. One thing I really like about it is that there's no pager to it. If you get to the bottom of the page, it just keeps adding more results. So you can kind of keep scrolling rather than clicking the next. It just adds them to the bottom until you don't have any more search results. So that's one really cool feature about it. It will allow you to go quickly into images or videos or even apps. And just does a nice job. You can change the visuals of it. So you can get a dark setting versus a light setting. Over in settings, you can kind of tweak it for what you want to see. Do you want to see the full URL so you can kind of see what you're clicking on? Suggestions. There is a plugin for Safari. I think there's plugins for Chrome as well that makes this your default search engine. But if you're interested in alternate search engines that kind of aggregate search results, try DuckDuckGo. That's DuckDuckGo.com.
I like the privacy nature of it. It does feel like sometimes Google knows a little bit too much about us, so that's nice.
Absolutely. All right, so let me find my way back to my camera here. And we are going to move on to, well, we probably should just give a quick tease, because this is coming in the next week or so. You may hear more about it. The Wells Tech Conference for 2015. So we're going to run a Wells Tech Conference. We haven't run one in like 8 years. And that was kind of a blended one with a kind of an old teachers conference. And I think the one before that was back in 2003, I want to say. So it's been over 10 years since we've had a true Wells Tech conference before I started. We're going to be running it next July, so watch out for that. The announcement that's coming out shortly, you'll probably see it in Together, is a call for presenters. So we're looking for people who are willing to present on different topics. And I would suspect, Sally, that many of our much of our audience might have something to contribute in that respect. So pay attention to that. There'll be some nice goodies if you are a presenter as far as, you know, free conference attendance and such. So watch out for Wells Tech Conference 2015.
Looking forward to it, Martin.
Yep. Sally, we have a truckload of community feedback. So
we do, and we're starting off with the best of the best. Because you and I got an email last Tuesday night from a young man. The subject line said, Wells Tech is cool. And I thought, well, yeah, I like this. I think this is a good email. Let's read what
I thought it was spam at first. You know, well, we can improve your website or blah, blah, blah. But no, this was real.
This was from Noah Georgeson, who's from North Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and who over the past 1 month and 18 days listened to not one, not 10, not 100, but 343 historical episodes of the Wells Tech podcast, the entire history, 6.5 years of podcasting. Wow, Noah, that's pretty amazing. And he not only listened, but he liked it, and he wants to keep listening. And his PS on the podcast said, I will always watch the Wells Tech podcast team in action. Oh, yeah. So thank you, Noah. You are
our kind of listener, yes.
And for that, what would he call that, world record creating event of listening to the podcast in 1 month and 18 days from April 15th to June 2nd, you have earned yourself a spot in the Wells Tech Hall of Fame. And Noah, you should have received right before this podcast an actual Credly badge. That's a coveted item, Noah, let me tell you. Let's see if I can show it on the screen, because everybody listening wants one of these, but not everybody gets this.
You're looking for that. He actually documented each day, journaled the listening time or what episodes he listened to on what day, and there were a couple days where it must have taken him 6-7 hours to listen through. I hope he had a fast forward. I wouldn't want to listen to our early episodes for sure, and there's a few episodes even recently, maybe this one, that I wouldn't
want to listen to. Oh, Noah, we appreciate you. And we sent you this Hall of Fame badge from our Credly account. We welcome you to that honorable state and hope that you keep listening. Thank you, Noah, for writing to us.
Yeah,
make my day.
Feel free to be a contributor, too. Add stuff to the show.
That's right. All right. I'm going to breeze through a lot more community feedback. First up, from Bob Martins, he mentioned to me that RenderMan is actually going free for nonprofits. I never heard of RenderMan, but apparently it's from the Pixar Studios, and it's a really great 3D video production software that normally costs $495. So free for non-commercial use, and I don't think it's
great for AV classes and schools that run that kind of program. Teach them quite a bit about that process. So
good stuff. I don't know that they've released it yet. I think it says with their next rollout of an upgrade of the software, that's when the free part starts. But there's a link on their website to register for that. So if you're interested, check out RenderMan. Let's see. We also heard from Wells Tech Hall of Famer Pastor Rob Gunther, who sent us a couple of links. One of them from a background noise site, which is an interesting concept. I don't know if you want to pronounce that, Martin. Coffitivity.
I would guess that would be close.
So the idea is, you don't need it to be super loud in your office, but if it's dead silent, you kind of lose your creativity. Working in a coffee shop apparently is a really great environment, and it's giving you a taste of that background noise that you can play. I kind of laugh because when I'm at home working on my crafts or whatever, my background noise is HGTV and not a coffee house. But anyway, interesting link. Pastor Gunther also sent us a link to an iOS app called Mile IQ, and there is a free version of this app that is comparable to the automatic computer component that he's added to his car to keep up with all of his mileage and track all of that. So Mile IQ just does it based on the
GPS.
Yeah, built into your iOS device and allows you to track your mileage that way. It says nothing to press, no start or stop, just drive. Kind of like it measures my steps every day for me using a certain app or whatever. And it saves it all, and you can get it in spreadsheet format and be able to turn in your mileage if you need to or whatever. So check it out if you're looking for a solution like that.
Cool. Yep.
Let's see. Next up, we had a Google message from a listener, Clarence Chapman. I'm going to turn off my screen share for a moment. And Clarence is from St. John's in Hastings, Minnesota. And he said that they were looking into copyright. He had watched our copyright episode. And you know, Martin, I think that copyright episode is getting a lot of traction. That's an interesting topic for churches to consider, and I think people appreciate the fact that we were able to bring that to them via a Wells Tech podcast. But interestingly, though, they are recording their services, putting them on YouTube and local community access station, and there was some concern raised about putting children's faces on camera. So perhaps their camera spans the congregation or whatever, and there hasn't been any kind of a signing of a video release form or anything like that with the video that they're producing of their weekly church service. And so Clarence was just kind of asking what our thoughts were with children being on camera. And he thought of the idea about putting up some signage, you know, video recording taking place or whatever. You know, I suggested if it's a real concern, you could put an announcement in the bulletin along those lines. Martin, did you have any thoughts on the legalities of that?
Yeah, well, it is public, and you're not, you know, identifying kids, but I think there's a courtesy issue here, and just kind of a church family kind of awareness that you need to keep in mind as you want to do that kind of thing, and make sure that they are aware that that's happening. I think the ideas that you provided are right on. Just make sure people are aware of it, and if people have objections, then you need to be sensitive to that, even though legally you don't have an obligation. I think you do have an obligation to create an environment where people are going to be comfortable worshiping with their kids. So,
very good.
I think in general, live streaming is one thing. Archived video, that's another reason that I wouldn't necessarily recommend archived video of the entire service. Usually just the sermon portion is good, but even a good videographer is going to show shots of the audience too, even during a sermon. So
okay,
just be aware of that.
All right. Moving on, we heard from Brent Nimmers, who happens to be the owner of a brand new Apple TV, thanks to his name being drawn last week. He also sent us a link to dropit2.me is actually how the URL works for that site. We've talked about this way in the past, Martin, but not real recently. It is a nice add-on to your Dropbox, potentially. It allows you to connect to your Dropbox and allow people to upload items to your personal Dropbox folders. I thought of this as a good resource for the school yearbook, where they're always trying to get everyone's photos from school events or whatever. They might use a Drop It To Me box and send people to that page to upload their images so that they have all those images collected in their central Dropbox folder. I'm sure there's many other applications for churches and schools to have a file upload area, and Drop It To Me might be an option for you. So check it out. It's free.
Yep, it works well. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Another listener wrote in asking for information about a complete list of Wells websites, or Wells-affiliated websites. And what I was able to point him to, I think this was Jim Bauer from up at Christ in Baxter, Minnesota, was the fact that on the Wells.net website, there is a link in the footer of the Wells.net site to other sites. And when you click on that, then it expands, and you get this full listing of affiliated websites. And probably more than you even knew were out there. So a really well-done list, and you'll want to check that out. Jim kind of had the idea of a compilation website kind of pulling in from all different Wells-affiliated sites, updated content and things, and putting them in one place for the congregation there in Baxter to peruse and be aware of different opportunities and things like that. So be following that effort, and hopefully Jim can report back to us and tell us how that's going.
Great.
All right. Next up, I think this was in the form of a voicemail message I heard from Will Windorf, who's at Trinity and St. Luke's in Watertown, Wisconsin. And their classroom idea was to use Surface tablets, potentially, for having a tablet device in the classroom. And he was just really looking for feedback, what kind of experience others have had with Surface tablets, any issues or ideas from us related to Surface tablets. And Martin, this is not one where I would say we're doing a double take on, because I can't say that we've specifically talked about Surface in the classroom on the Wells Tech podcast.
Right, and I talked to Will just yesterday. He called me to follow up because I have used a Surface and do use one. My recommendation to them from a cost perspective and from just a App Store perspective was to think more Chromebook, because I think that's going to better meet their needs. But really, there's nothing wrong with the Surface, and I know Microsoft is trying to get into that space, and they do have a decent app a cadre of apps, but it's going to be a more expensive device, and I'm not sure how if it stands up as well. It's going to be closer in price to an iPad. So if you're thinking iPad versus, you know, Surface, that's really the comparison versus a Chromebook, which is a different kind of a different category. So lots of options out there, and I think there was an even another option that we talked about with Jason a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. was, you know, using a Nexus tablet or an Android tablet with the App Store that Google has as well. So you got a lot of different things to work through. I understand Will's question that boy, what's going to be best long term? Great question.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to invest in a device, go down a path for a year or two. You've got to think longer term than that and hope that the hardware stands up for several years. So.
I just have a hard time recommending against a Chromebook in the classroom because I've seen it work. I know there's no perfect solution, but as far as the administration of it, the apps, along with the Google Classroom coming out and everything else, it just seems like Google's right on top of the educational space.
For sure. All right. Also want to share with you our DIGO group. And for those of you that haven't visited this group, there's a link in the show notes each week. DIGO is a social bookmarking tool. So me and a lot of my good friends hang out on DIGO and share links this way. And you too can be part of that if you head over to our groups.digo.com/group/WellsTech. There's a link that you can click on to join the group. And once you've joined the group, you can use your DIGO plugin in your browser to easily add links here and tag them with WellsTech. And this week, I believe that there were 15 new links shared in our DIGO group. Yeah. So one of the reasons I'm showing you the page is the fact that I can't go over all this great stuff that was shared here. But you'll definitely want to check it out and look through the links that are provided here.
Tell us who the contributors were.
Yeah, contributed by Jason Schmidt and Jason Winjet. Both of them are regular contributors to the DIGO group. And just a couple to draw out. One was kind of a follow-up, Martin, to something you had mentioned on the podcast. We're all about repeating things this week. But apparently there was a lawsuit in Wisconsin that kind of addressed the housing allowance tax issue, right, for clergy. And in contrast to that, apparently a lawsuit in Kentucky was handed down in the opposite direction, in favor of retaining the housing allowance and not saying that it was discriminatory or anything like that. So hopefully there's some balance there and things may not go the wrong direction in regard to housing allowance.
Something to keep an eye on, yeah, because mm-hmm. that is a nice benefit that is provided to church workers, male church workers, and we're typically very, it's a great benefit that allows them tax allowance.
Absolutely. One more that I just want to bring out is called 10 Church Technology Goals for Your Church. Church Technology Goals for Your Church. That's a good title, huh? Anyway, I thought it was a really good short list. If you want to get motivated, number one, update the church Facebook and Twitter accounts on a daily basis. Number two, have a pastor or church leader submit a blog post once a week. Update the church website daily or weekly. Send regular email newsletters. So just kind of some
stuff that probably has come out of
goals.
Our mouths on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, quick and dirty, here's a great list. Yep. Set these goals and do them consistently. That's kind of the big marker, is whether you actually adopt them and keep it up on a consistent basis. That's what I got for community feedback, Martin.
Wow, that was a lot in a little time. Thank you. Please keep the feedback coming. We love it. If you go to wellstech.wells.net and leave a note there on the show notes page, or comment on one of the episodes, we'll see it there. Also, wellstech@wells.net. As Sally mentioned, DIGO, all kinds of social networking places that you can get in touch with us. So please do that. Next week, we're going to continue our wiki reboot with worship planning. audience considerations, bulletin and sermon notes, event promotion, hangouts for seminars, lectionary on the Google Calendar, presentation software, always a popular topic, video clips for worship, all kinds of good stuff about worship coming up next week. Sally, we have a featured video this week.
We do. This is new territory for us, Martin. We've talked about the fact that we'd like to develop playlists that are kind of a good place for people to go to know that we've, what's the good word for that? Discerned. We've vetted the videos. And one area that I think that's really wonderful to use videos in is when you're doing teaching or presentations. And sometimes maybe you want just a little 20-second clip or something to illustrate a point or to drive a point home or to motivate your audience in some way. And so I started a new YouTube channel this week called Presentation Teaching Videos. And our first edition, you guys may think I'm crazy, but I have the cutest little boy who just learned to ride his bicycle. And Martin, I sent you this link, but I bet you didn't look at it before the show. So hopefully you love it.
I did.
He is a wonderful way to conclude a presentation when you want to just feel good that you've learned something. He learned to ride a bike, and he's super excited about it. And you just got to watch this video to see this little boy and how excited he is.
I'd like to kind of follow his progress and find out what he grows up to be.
Yeah, he's got a lot of joy in his heart. It's really cute.
He does. So very good. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for your work, Sally. I look forward to our series, and hopefully our audience will too. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We will talk to you next week.